Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He's Bill Ryder, and he's writer than you.
The program writer than you. Sometimes.
He's a fan.
I love sports so much.
He's in your face.
I will destroy those obnoxiously arrogant, clueless, tone-deaf superstars who are marginal players, good players, made careers, who believe they're Hall of Famers.
He's nice.
We're nice here, I promise.
He's humble.
I think I'm usually pretty good here on the show about admitting when I got it wrong.
Live from Los Angeles, here's Bill Ryder.
Welcome into the show, Bill Ryder, with you, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Phone number here on the program. We'd love to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS. Andrew Bogish on updates. The Whisper phone coming to you a couple times over the next few hours. NFL power rankings at the end of this hour. One of my favorite NFL writers in the country. One of my favorite people in the country. Therese Paylor covers the NFL for Yahoo Sports, based in Kansas City, formerly of the Kansas City Star. Broke the news, broke the story. Take that, Adam Schefter, on Le'Veon Bell to the Chiefs. Therese Paylor will be on the show an hour from now. The executive producer of this show, Tom DiBenedetto, producer underscore Tom. As always, hanging out from New York. I'm in Los Angeles, California. You can hit me up on Twitter, SportsWriter, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Yesterday, we had a Carlos Correa interview. Today, we have a very, very special surprise guest that will be unmasked, presented in shocking and beautiful, harmonious awesomeness later this hour. Speaking of awesomeness, and I probably should talk Cardinals Dallas more than I'm going to. This is the thing about two really interesting Monday night football games. I didn't say good. I said interesting. One of them was a good game. But the Cardinals look legit. Kyler Murray is a talented. I like talented little dudes. How was I not? Because I aspire to be one. How was I not on Kyler Murray? 38-10 drubbing to Dallas. And we'll talk to you throughout the show in the week about Mike McCarthy. And why we should have seen this coming. First, Ted Thompson was one of those guys that crafted an illusion of excellence behind the reality of Aaron Rodgers, and it turned out McCarthy did the same thing. But the big takeaway last night were the two 4-1 teams playing each other in a rainy and cold Buffalo, New York. Bills, Chiefs. And in the rain, running the football in a way that quite literally, we've never seen from a Mahomes-Andy Reid team. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire was really impressive for the most part. There were some moments at the end, a little frustrating, because he's a rookie. The Chiefs, I don't know if you can roll to a 26-17 win. And at the end, that rookie running back for the Chiefs fumbled the football. It was overturned. It wasn't a fumble. His knee was down. But it made you worry, I guess, a little bit. A little. I got worried because I did get the double cover. Double Monday Night Football cover to get to 19 and 11. Doesn't feel deserved. Who gives a you-know-what? I'm in. And the Chiefs win this game 26-17. And I tried to process what I was seeing, to make sense of what was going on. And my first thought was that this is a Chiefs team that was just bored, that knows how good they are, aren't that interested, never turned it on. And that's not quite right. It felt almost like a lazy 26 points for the Chiefs, but that's not it either. I mean, you beat a 4-1 Bills team on the road, and that's not a bad, that's a good Buffalo team. That's a Buffalo team that's beat the Rams. That win looks better and better. I mean, it's week to week. I get it. I saw the Niners game too. But still, I think the Rams are a fine, okay to good football team, somewhere in that range. They beat a Raiders team that is the team that's beaten the Chiefs this year. And they've lost their two games to the Titans and Kansas City. Those might be two of the best five teams of football. We'll give you the definitive answer to that in about 30 or 40 minutes. This is not going to play the Jets or the Giants on the road. And so, okay, Chiefs weren't bored. And obviously, the running game they employed is a direct response to the way that teams are scheming against the Chiefs now. And even today, talking to the media, Buffalo Bills head coach talked about, look, we'd do it again. This is the way that we would do it. We were in this game and Mahomes didn't beat us. And Kansas City's response was to run the ball 46 times. That is tied for the most of any Andy Reid-led team in the guy's career. 55% of the designed plays were run plays. That is the most for a Patrick Mahomes-led team. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire was awesome. 46 rushing attempts for 161 yards. The Chiefs ran the ball on the ground. The Kansas City Chiefs, today's Kansas City Chiefs, for almost 250 rushing yards. It was an extraordinary showing. And then it hit me what we were seeing in this game, what we were watching, what the comparison is for me, something I've never seen in the National Football League. It was like watching the Warriors over the course of their run. A team so talented, so sure of who and what they are, so imbued with a quiet swagger that it's easy to mistake certainty for complacency, confidence for arrogance, and a close game for a letdown. No, it's the opposite. The Chiefs played a really good Bills team. Look, does Josh Allen have some serious ups and serious downs? He does. And he did not look great yesterday. And again, credit, I think, to that Chiefs defense for making him really inefficient. Threw a couple touchdown passes, but still, Josh Allen did not look like the sure thing that he may or may not be. Good Bills team, maybe a great Bills team, on the road, in the rain. I'm with Troy Aikman. Don't give me this whole you can't throw the ball because it's raining. That's garbage. But not an easy place to play. And the Chiefs, a little lackadaisical in the first half, which frankly has happened with Patrick Mahomes-led teams for a while, with some sloppy play and some penalties, and really some defensive moments that were less than ideal, the Chiefs still won this football game without breaking much of a sweat, without ever really having to turn on that switch. Tyreek Hill played, but if you didn't know that, if you were wondering, that's cool for good reason. He barely factored in. Travis Kelce did have a couple touchdown passes. That guy is, breaking news, really good. This is a remarkable Kansas City Chiefs team. And let's start here. I know this isn't new. I understand what I'm about to say has been true for a while. But let's try our best to appreciate this despite the fact that what's amazing becomes boring overnight. And that's part of it, too. The Chiefs are amazing. And we are so used to wanting to be wowed again and again and again. It's not enough that the most talented quarterback we've ever seen in Patrick Mahomes is in his third full year. We're over. We're tired of it. What's Lamar Jackson doing? How's Deshaun Watson playing? You think Kyler Murray's the next big thing? Where's Trevor Lawrence going? Let's just focus on the fact that Patrick Mahomes is literally on track to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. I know. I get it. You got to get there. But that wasn't an outrageous thing to say about Tiger that first time he walked down Augusta as a young man with crowds swelling to him like some kind of golf savior, which, by the way, it turned out he was. It wasn't insanity to talk about LeBron James dominating the game as a high school kid on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Some players are so talented that the question stops being about whether they're good enough to be the best and whether they'll be healthy enough and mentally strong enough. Well, we've answered the mentally toughness answer about Mahomes. Like LeBron James, like Tiger Woods, good head on his shoulders, as it relates to the performances that they are known for. I'm not making a statement on Tiger Woods' marriage if my wife Lori is listening to the show. I'm not. Not at all. Can he stay healthy? Our friend Seth Wickersham, my buddy from college, ESPN NFL writer, just going to read you his two tweets. Said it better than I could. From Seth Wickersham. So Patrick Mahomes has won 28 of 36 starts, including a Super Bowl, with 89 touchdown passes and 19 interceptions. I'm just going to interrupt here. It is now 91-19 because he had a couple last night. 1.9% interception rate, Seth goes on. Tom Brady, the gold standard, didn't have a season below 2% interception rate until his seventh year. As much as we appreciate what we're watching, we're likely not appreciating it, him, enough. And then Seth has to respond, a tweet attempting to appreciate him even undervalued his stats. It should be 1.5% interception rate, not 1.9%. And this is not a shot at Aaron Rodgers. I think he's amazing. And I think, again, we get complacent with greatness. Do you know what the criticism has been in Green Bay the last few years of Aaron Rodgers, outside of who he dates, which is incredibly stupid, including from people that I'm related to or Packers fans? It's that he doesn't go for it enough. He only had 28 touchdown passes. He threw two picks. He's not courageous. Let's put aside the silliness of that for a moment. That doesn't apply to Patrick Mahomes. The guy just like throws 50 touchdown passes while doing this. That's what we saw last night. A team led by maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. The question for Patrick Mahomes will be this. This is the question of his career. Will he be the greatest QB of all time or not? Can he win 2, 3, 5, 6 Super Bowls or not? Can he keep this level up or not? Can he stay healthy or not? There's nothing else. There's nothing else. The guy finishes the 4th best QB of all time or the 40th. It's a disappointment. And we're still not appreciating the dude. And that guy's football team went into Buffalo and Andy Reid just wanting to mess with defensive coordinators to say to them, if you're going to just sit back on Patrick and try to take away all of our big plays, we're going to take this football that you see here and we're going to shove it down your throat again and again and again. And by the way, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a very talented football player. Don't get me wrong. Was I annoyed by the almost fumble because of the cover I was chasing because I like the Chiefs? Yes, I was. Was I annoyed when they were still attempting to ensure they remained in field goal range with a kicker who'd mix an extra point that he lost 4 or 5 yards on trying to be fancy instead of just putting your head down? I was. And was I annoyed when he ran out of bounds on the play after that or the next play to the right side, therefore stopping the clock? I was annoyed. None of it mattered when that field goal kicker hit it through the uprights. He's really good. Le'Veon Bell's on his way. And I'm not gonna tell you that Le'Veon Bell is Walter Payton, but, and it's an imperfect comparison, but a few years ago, one of the things the Saints did really well when they should have made a Super Bowl is that they had Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara who ran the football in vastly different ways. And if you watch press conferences after those Saints games, I'm a geek. Like, I actually find those as interesting as the games themselves. You'd see guys talking about and coaches talk about how hard it was to go up against a football team with two runners who were talented, who were vastly different in how they run the football with Drew Brees behind center. Guess what? A version of that, I'm not calling Clyde Alvin, and Le'Veon Bell is not at the same point of his career where he was in Pittsburgh, but Patrick Mahomes is behind center. Andy Reid is calling the plays, and that's the other takeaway. And that's why I misunderstood what I was seeing for boredom or for being lackadaisical or insouciant or whatever sort of criticism I thought I was determining, you know, as I watched the Chiefs. They are, because of their quarterback and what we've seen from them, a rising superpower in the NFL. Like the Warriors, who knew it and carried themselves accordingly, who won games when they didn't even have to flip that switch, where that switch had dust on it again and again and again because it was so unnecessary. The Chiefs are the only thing we've seen approaching this other than the Patriots, right? The Patriots have dominated the last 20 years. Dominated. Other teams, congratulations, you won Super Bowls. It's always been about the Patriots. Patriots don't make an AFC championship game. It's a disappointing and shocking year. And we've had a run of Super Bowls where it's just like, the question is, does New England win or do they lose to Nick Foles or Eli Manning, if you want to go far enough back? The difference is, the reason we've never seen this, a different way to carry yourself, and for the Patriots, look, they're an actual dynasty, right? That probably has gone away. It's certainly reverted to something lesser. But the Roman Empire doesn't go from being the Roman Empire and controlling a huge swath of the globe to a city. It's a process. Your borders may shrink, but you still have some power. And that is probably where New England is right now. But New England has a Bill Belichick, I'm going to mumble, approach to greatness that is, I won't call it faux humility because they're authentic in what they do, but it's a tunnel vision, looking down at your feet, nothing else matters. The Chiefs are different under Andy Reid. There's a joyousness that's allowed. There's a little bit of a swagger that's okay. And so if the Chiefs are indeed going to try to replicate what the Patriots have done in terms of dominance out of the AFC and a high likelihood of success in AFC championship games and Super Bowls and just the chance to get there, it's a Dodgers model. The Dodgers are about to play in their, I don't even know, is it their third World Series in 4 years? Some insane number. They've won the NL West crown 8 times. You're not supposed to do that in baseball, even in baseball where you can stack the deck with money, which the Dodgers have done, and with brain power through Andrew Friedman. The Patriots they were so incredible. They got to so many opportunities. Of course, they were never going to win Super Bowls. Some of the Super Bowls that they lost, they shouldn't have. Some of the Super Bowls they won, I'm sorry, Seahawks fans, they shouldn't have. But it becomes, in some ways, a numbers game at that sample size. That's what the Chiefs can do. That's what they aspire, and they know it. There's a lot that can get in the way. Arrogance can get in the way. First and foremost, complacency. Andy Reid just decided he doesn't want to coach anymore. Can get in the way. Or his own health. He's an older gentleman, like some of the great coaches out there. Certainly Patrick Mahomes' durability. But think about the Chiefs. My God, if they find a kicker who's a sure thing on extra point. Just extra points. Just make the extra point. There's no need at the end of the game. Think about the Chiefs if now, because they have utilized so much of their draft capital to get offensive play. Good for them. Do they really need to draft a running back in the first round next year or a receiver? I would argue no. Think if they hit on a couple guys in the first two or three or four rounds over the next 4 years defensively and just add it to that defense. They're just going to build on that foundation. What we watched last night, and Seth said it better than I could have, was a quarterback, despite the accolades, that we should marvel at more than we do. The dude is in his third full season. And I'm not trying to argue that Trevor Lawrence is the next greatest QB of all time 8 games into his career next year. I'm not trying to make the case for Deshaun Watson before he got hurt his first year. Patrick Mahomes' sample size includes a 50-touchdown season, an MVP, and a Super Bowl for Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. What we saw last night was a marvel of football against a really tough team, making it look so easy, people like me mistook it for laziness. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. You want to yell at me about, Ryder, it's the whisper phone. You can't call Mahomes the best quarterback of all time. 855, that's not what I said, but let's do it. 855-212-4CBS. Take some phone calls, talk some football, and bring in a very special cameo appearance from a very talented, famous person next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
What a weird year, right? Is Halloween happening? For my kids, it's not. We're not going to let my kids trick-or-treat for what feels like obvious reasons, but we've got people in our community who are going to let their kids do that. So my kids are trying to understand why they can't trick-or-treat, but little Joey at school is allowed to? Weird year. Weird, weird year. I think Lori and I also found a cheat code for Christmas. Because every year we get our kids way too many things for Christmas. And Lori, my wife, and I don't believe in spending money on corporate-fueled holidays. We just don't. Holidays, we don't. We don't do Valentine's. We don't celebrate Valentine's Day. We don't do even our anniversary. Like, we basically forget it's our anniversary. We don't buy each other Christmas presents. I would rather spend our money on experiences or things that we actually want than like, oh, I have to spend $400 or $200 now on my wife for Valentine's Day. So I think we're thinking about taking the kids to a nice hotel on points. Don't tell my kids that, so it doesn't cost anything. In exchange for Christmas presents. Pretty freaking excited. Cameo, I'm told a Cameo surprise guest. I don't know if we're actually going to be able to get him, but it looks like I'm texting with this person's people now, anywhere from the next 5 minutes to the next 30 minutes. So hopefully we can, I don't want to put it out there unless it actually happens. Possible surprise guest. I want to, we were just talking Mahomes and just to quote one of my favorite soccer announcers, the magisterial greatness of this guy. And very conversely is the Cowboys, who also, to quote Ray Hudson from La Liga, Mike McCarthy is a soup sandwich. He is such a disaster. And I know, I understand that Andy Dalton's the QB, who I keep thinking is Carson Palmer, like just some washed up former Bengal, but it's actually Andy Dalton. And I get that that's not going to be a guy that's going to lead you to remarkable success. But that has very little to do with Ezekiel Elliott being able to hold on to the football or an utter and total lack of effort and discipline from a football team. I'm a huge believer of this. I'm about to praise the Packers in a pretty aggressive way. Really, Aaron Rodgers. Ted Thompson was a longtime super GM, head of football operations, the head of the Packers organization. And he was a king in Green Bay, Wisconsin. My parents lived there for about a year when I was in college. Spent some time there, 3 weeks of Christmas break. Great community. And I've never seen anything like it, and neither have you. You think you're a fan of your sports team, you don't know anything until you've gone to Green Bay, Wisconsin in the non-football season. Like spring break. Just random March. And there are flags everywhere. I went to the mall. And I thought I had walked into the world's largest Packers memorabilia store. Nope, that's just people being fans of their team. It is an obsession that is, it really is a remarkably emotional connection. It very, very small community, very, very oversized legacy and team. And the thing about that is that when you are successful, even when you're not successful, when you're an important part of that organization, you walk around like you own the place, kind of like the Chiefs did in that Bills game yesterday in Buffalo. And Ted Thompson, during a very successful run for an organization that obviously won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers early in his career, got a lot of credit for being this mastermind. And it turned out he was not particularly adept at his job. It was Aaron Rodgers who covered up for a multitude of sins. That will happen. And that's exactly what we're seeing from Mike McCarthy. The game can pass you by a little bit, although it hasn't Andy Reid. Andy Reid is not exactly the world's youngest head coach. Effort, intelligence, passion, ambition, those things will keep you fresh. And being good at it, right? The aptitude for, in this case, football. Mike McCarthy doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. This was a bad football team in Dallas before Dak Prescott got hurt. I don't want to hear how Dak's the reason. No, he's not. You didn't lose to the Cardinals. You got embarrassed. You didn't just get dominated. You got outclassed and outplayed because your team didn't have the effort or the energy. And that's the other thing that I thought about. It was so weird because I'm in L.A. to watch a football game at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was awesome. And then to go into the actual Monday Night Football game. And just to see Fox's broadcasters, who I know those guys a little bit from my days there, on when it was light outside where I was at night. It was a very – I'm used to the mornings. It struck me Aaron Rodgers has carried coaches and GMs. And maybe he's doing it now. He may be. All this like – Matt LaFleur is amazing. I was struck by watching Moneyball for the first time because, that's a new thing because I'm really up to date on what's going on, right? 10 years later, I'm all over Moneyball. But just the manager, Art, what's his name? The announcer. Art, he's doing it. The manager's really putting this turd together. The turd was an actual quote, by the way. If my boss is listening, he's getting a little frustrated.
Don't say
Don't say tear down the air. I'm sorry. I apologize. That's my fault. You're right. Aaron Rodgers is the guy that has carried that team. And that's what's so so amazing about Patrick Mahomes. Not only is he as talented as Aaron Rodgers, and maybe we'll have a better, has already had it. Let's be honest. Has already had as good a career. He's already won a Super Bowl. He has as many. Has he as many? That's the goal. That's what you play for. But he has the opposite of what Rodgers has always had. Rodgers had to carry guys, and Rodgers' greatness at the height of his career, the light of his football excellence, that shine got on Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy, and we all mistook it for their own excellence. Not there. Not true. Mahomes is the opposite. He has an actual organization that supports him, helps him, puts him in a position to succeed, drafts the weapons that he needs. What about Aaron Rodgers complaining, rightfully so, he doesn't have the weapons drafted in the first round. They got a quarterback. The Chiefs went out and got a running back who just ran for 150 yards yesterday. An unnecessary weapon. But you know what it does? It makes life a lot easier. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number if you want to give us a call. Andrew Bogus is here. Bogus, I was thinking about you yesterday. How you doing, buddy?
I'm well. How are you?
Your hatred for John Smoltz was really overwhelming.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do, and I want to apologize for letting it get the better of me.
Let's play it. Let's play. I want to hear. I want to refresh my memory.
I don't love Smoltz in general. I could do without Smoltz. He's awfully negative. He never sounds that excited about a game, and I think it kind of masks some good points. And he made a good point last night about Julio. He was right there with the possibility of him finishing this for the Dodgers. But yeah, in general, to me, he's not my fave.
I think he's great. He's not your fave. You hate John Smoltz.
I don't hate John Smoltz. I could not be okay if Fox moved John Smoltz off the broadcast.
You want John Smoltz fired? Moved him off the broadcast. That's Andrew Bogus and Andrew Bogus on Twitter.
Smoltz the mystery guest right now?
Here's the thing. He heard it. He heard it. I can't. So he actually, I don't know how he got my mobile phone number. Mm-hmm. Thank God I was asleep. I get up early, but it came in at like 3:30 Pacific time this morning, which, by the way, is probably why he's so, I think, not you, I mean, my opinion, amazing in his job. He's just up super early getting ready. He left me a message saying, I want to give you my perspective on Andrew Bogus. I listened to the show, and this was his take.
How much time do we have? This is the most ridiculous topic we have every single time. Yep. Let me just put it this way. It's ridiculous. Okay. This is stupid, okay? Like, this is dumb. Anyone who talks about this doesn't know what they're talking about. That makes no sense. It's not universal. This is dumb.
It's not universal. He's right. Like, you've got your take. I've got mine. Smoltz's mad at you. It's not universal. Look, I dumb's a little aggressive. Calling you dumb's a little aggressive by John Smoltz. But to be fair, you did say Fox.
Dumb.
No, you're not dumb. But man, you really got you really picked at a nerve here with Smoltz.
Yeah, you know what? It's a little disappointing, if I'm being honest. I mean, John has started and closed important games. You'd think he'd be a little tougher than to get up in a from a no-name radio anchor.
Big but deal.
If I'm going to bother him, then maybe it's good that he is in the booth and not on a mound somewhere.
Tom DiBenedetto is the executive producer. I need you to make an executive decision. Should we play Smoltz's voicemail about Andrew Bogus again? Does that feel right or wrong?
I think it feels so right.
Okay.
How much time do we have? Yeah. This is the most ridiculous topic we have every single time.
Yep.
Let me just put it this way. It's ridiculous. Okay. This is stupid. Okay? Like, this is dumb. Anyone who talks about this doesn't know what they're talking about. That makes no sense. It's not universal. This is dumb.
Look, I don't think you're dumb. I just think that I think it's two talented guys who have a disagreement.
Who is this buddy cackling in the background? Is that Steve Avery, Mark Wohlers? Who's that hanging on to Smoltz, laughing at his every word still?
I didn't play.
Good one, Johnny.
In the voicemail he left me, John was very upset. And then he said, hey, you know, this is the message I want for Bogus. But it sounded like in the background, like I heard him say to the guys, like, hey, am I being too hard on this guy for calling for me to be fired on a national radio show? And the guys are like, no. And then something, I couldn't make it out, it was muffled, but I'm like, you know, I really respected this guy. I thought like broadcaster to broadcaster. And then somebody in the background's like betrayal, something about betrayal and a code.
Yeah.
I don't know who it is.
That's fine. And let me say one nice thing about John Smoltz.
Don't.
He is a gentleman. And he did ask if there was enough time for him to shred me apart before he shredded me. So he was thinking of your voicemail system ahead of time, which we have to appreciate no matter what.
I mean, look, you and I are on totally opposite ends of the small. I think he's amazingly talented and should be employed and be able to support his family. And you think he's a disaster and he should be fired and destitute. But, like, we can agree, I think.
I know a woman, Mona, that can take care of him.
Hey, it's the whisper phone. Why are you getting on Smoltzy? All right. Well, I just wanted to let Smoltz have his say, but now it's your turn. You can tell us what's going on, but hey, this is your space. If you want to just go after Smoltz, you want to like double down and own your opinion, you can do that too.
I can't wait for the next 7 out of 9 nights to hear Joe Buck and John Smoltz on baseball games. It's going to be a great week and a half. So without Dak Prescott, the Cowboys need Andy Dalton to be serviceable, and they need Ezekiel Elliott to be elite. They are 0-for-1 in that regard. Zeke fumbled on back-to-back possessions to fuel the Cardinals' takeoff last night.
I'm supposed to be a guy this team can rely on. I'm supposed to be a guy that this team can lean on when times get rough, and I just wasn't that today. I got us started off to a terrible start. Defense were playing. They were playing well. But I killed our momentum. 2 fumbles, I can't do that.
Both of Elliott's fumbles became touchdowns. Dalton's 2 picks became 10 points. The Cardinals, a 38-10 rout in your nightcap. Kyler Murray threw for 2 scores, ran for another. He now has 5 games this season with at least 1 of each. That's the most through 6 games in NFL history. Monday night began in the rain in Buffalo. Chiefs rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire ran for 161 yards, 245 for the team, KC's most since 2012, and they're adding Le'Veon Bell this week. He tweeted during the game last night, he can't wait to join this crew. Andy Reid had his arms open postgame.
We don't turn away good players, and he's a good one, so it's exciting to have him around, and we'll see how he does. He's got to get in and get in the playbook and learn everything, but he's a pretty smart kid and been doing it a long time, so I don't think I'll have a problem with that.
Bell is still going through COVID protocols. He should be at practice tomorrow. Back to last night, those 245 rushing yards were more than the Bills' total of 206, yet it took a field goal at a pick to close out a 26-17 victory. That's back-to-back losses on national TV for the Bills after that 4-0 start. The NFL has reportedly informed the Titans that it has finished its investigation of their COVID outbreak. It appears Tennessee will dodge major penalties like lost draft picks. Fines are coming, though. No individuals will be punished. You may recall that Clayton Kershaw has various issues pitching well in the postseason. His next opportunity comes tonight as the Dodgers and Rays begin the World Series in Arlington.
Every year is different. Every team is different. The Rays are a different team than the Astros and the Red Sox. And so, you know, I'm going to prepare like I always do and be as ready as I can be and excited about another opportunity to get it done.
Maybe it's time to prepare differently. I don't know. Kershaw's 5th World Series start tonight. His ERA over the first 4 is 5.40. The Rays give the ball to Tyler Glasnow. Kershaw's teammate Cody Bellinger says he is fine after dislocating his shoulder, celebrating his tie-breaking homer in Game 7 Sunday. The shoulder was popped right back into place, and Bellinger finished the win. Penn State running back NFL prospect Journey Brown is not playing this fall. Doctors found an undisclosed medical condition earlier this month. Brown ran for 890 yards and 12 scores last season. And you can digest Thanksgiving the following afternoon with some golf. Phil Mickelson saddled with Charles Barkley. They'll face Peyton Manning and Steph Curry at Stone Canyon Golf Club in Arizona. It'll be on TNT again the day after Thanksgiving. Bill, back to you.
Clayton Kershaw is so right, isn't it? It's so correct.
Yeah. It's one of your best works. There's no doubt about that.
This is a team. Hey, this is not the John Smoltz thing. That's you on an island. This is a team effort. It's you, me, and Tommy DiBenedetto getting it done. We'll see if Smoltz calls. I don't know. Like, I'm hoping. John Smoltz, if you're listening, and for the coming days or weeks or even the coming years, if you'd like to call in and just weigh in on Andrew Bogish, it's always open to you. We will always play your voicemails here on the show. That seems fair. That seems okay.
It's very nice of you. I can't wait to hear from John again.
Kindness is my middle name. At Andrew Bogish on Twitter. Trying to really get one's arms around who the best 5 teams in the NFL, it's a really difficult year for that. And we talked yesterday about just how hard I think it is to make assessments about teams because of the lack of information in no OTAs. We don't know where defenses are going to evolve. No preseason games. That remains true as we put together the power rankings, the most prestigious thing in sports outside of Andrew Bogus's criticism of John Smoltz. NFL power rankings up next on CBS Sports Radio.
Some will rise. Others will fall. Let the ranking begin on Writer Than You's NFL Power Rankings. Number 5.
All right, man, this is a, Tom, it is a tough task coming up with the best 5 teams in football.
I do not envy you right now.
Not easy. I'm going to go Titans here. We just walked you through some of the reasons why. Some really impressive wins on the schedule now. And, you know, we could talk about Tannehill. We talk about Derrick Henry, that 94-yard. God, that 94-yard touchdown was ridiculous. Talk about the record, of course. I want to talk about Mike Vrabel and how Mike Vrabel took over an organization and has infused them with such a remarkable level of football discipline in almost every single facet of the game. Offensively, defensively, special teams. To watch that game is to watch the opposite of the Jets. Or if you want me to pick on someone that's not a, you know, JUCO football team, the opposite of what we saw from the Cowboys yesterday. There is effort. There is energy. Everybody knows their roles. You're talking about a Titans team that had a real chance to beat the Chiefs last year and go to the Super Bowl. And Patrick Mahomes did what Patrick Mahomes does. A year ago seems like 10 years ago because of 2020. So forgive me if I get this wrong. I should know this. Titans also beat the Patriots last year in the playoffs, which is an incredible thing to do, especially for a former Patriot. Not quite the same thing as a former Patriot coach, but Vrabel, for the majority of his career, a New England Patriot. This Titans team is remarkable. Their run game is incredible. Ryan Tannehill, when called upon, can be the guy. He can be the man. The defense is great. And Mike Vrabel knows how to put a 12th man on the field, play act that it's a mistake, save a bunch of time, use that time to get his team into field goal range, force overtime, and win the football game. That is some ridiculous next level stuff.
Number 4.
This team falls down only because the other teams, a few of the other teams, have moved up in my mind's eye. I've got the Ravens at 4, but for me, this is where you start to talk about football teams that are the clear favorites, these 4 teams, to win a Super Bowl this particular year. And I know that the Ravens nearly squandered their lead against a bad football team over the weekend, and it was a vaguely uninspiring win in the final tally. It's not why they're here. You very rarely, once, does a team win every single football game over the course of a season. It doesn't happen. It hasn't happened since the 70s and the Dolphins. Guys, teams are going to have letdown Sundays. It is not easy, even against, other than the Jets, even against bad teams, it's not easy to win in the National Football League. Hell, the Chiefs, who will be on this list in a moment, have lost a football game this year. Doesn't mean that the sky was falling because they lost to the Raiders. The Ravens' only loss is to, drumroll please, the Kansas City Chiefs. Their defense is incredible, also well-coached. I believe in Lamar Jackson. This is a great, great football team.
Number 3.
I mean, I haven't given the Steelers the respect they deserve. Now it's time. You can certainly, if you want to, you can certainly pick at the Steelers a little bit. You can say, I mean, I don't know, 4 of their games have been at home. You can say that they've won games against the Giants, against Denver, against Houston when Bill O'Brien was still there, against Philly as 4 of their 5 wins. And you could even say that when they play Cleveland, whatever Cleveland is, the Browns almost always revert to the Browns of yesterday. I almost said yesteryear. I guess yesteryear. But it doesn't matter. You play the teams that are in front of you. They look really good. They're remarkably well coached. Ben Roethlisberger is great. We talked about the Steelers yesterday. They are one of the few remaining undefeated teams of football, and they're number 3 for a reason.
Number 2.
I'm still on the Seahawks bandwagon. Is there a, Tom, if you could take a single team in the NFC that's not Seattle, who are you pointing? I mean, maybe Tampa?
Yeah, that's the one. I mean, the maybe Packers, too.
Green Bay?
Yeah, don't let last night completely or Sunday completely get you off Green Bay. But I'm terrified of the Bucs. If Brady can keep it up, I'm terrified.
Terrified. You think the Bucs are the option after Seattle?
They're just so mean on defense.
But I understand. You've forgotten a team that's undefeated on the road, the 5-1 Chicago Bears. Didn't you want to include them in your analysis?
You know what? We're going to talk about the Bears an hour from now. The tide is turning for me on the Bears a little bit.
I'm not.
A little bit.
Lord of the Rings, I can't do it. I can't remember the stupid line. It's like in like old English. Do not chance to hope. Do not chance to hope, bro. Do not chance to hope.
I should take it from you. You would know.
Outside of the NFC, look, outside of the Seahawks, the path through the NFC goes through Seattle as surely as the path through the AFC goes through Kansas City. The only thing is there's a lot more challengers on the AFC side to Kansas City. I think the Chiefs, you give me a team against the field, I'll take the Chiefs in the AFC. But I won't do it with the same level of confidence that today I would Seattle. I'm with you on Tampa Bay. I do wonder if Seattle's defense starts to click the way it always does as the year goes on, what they're capable of doing to Tom Brady. And we've talked about how underrated he is historically. Russell Wilson's amazing.
Yeah, that's my MVP. That's my MVP so far.
He is the MVP. Although, man, I was looking at Mahomes' stats today. You know that Mahomes right now has 15 touchdowns to a single interception so far this year? Through five games?
Yeah, no, he's been amazing too.
He's on track for basically 47, 48, and three interceptions.
Derrick Henry too. The three of them, I would say. Any of those are okay.
I'm with you on Derrick Henry. I don't think a running back's going to win an MVP for a while now. I just think the way that voters are going to be. But yeah, I'm absolutely. But you're right. Like, if I had to vote today, it's probably Russell Wilson. You've got one of the game's best quarter. Oh, always overshadowed. Tom Brady is his prime. Aaron Rodgers is his prime. Now Mahomes is in the game. And it's amazing how remarkable Russell Wilson is for a guy. Has Russell Wilson ever universally, you know, like in the zeitgeist and the talk of just NFL fans, been considered the best quarterback in a given season? The answer is no. I mean, Drew Brees has never won an MVP. Like, that's the competition. And Drew Brees, for me, is an absolute all-time top five quarterback. The Seahawks have that guy. They've got a run game. They've got all of it. They are the best team in football outside of...
Number one.
I mean, the Chiefs, man. And the Chiefs have actually won some really impressive football games, including, not last night, I guess I'd say yesterday afternoon's Monday afternoon football game, whatever you want to call it. The Bills are a 4-1. We're a 4-1 team at home, in the rain, in the cold. And as we talked about, the Chiefs just went out there and did what they do. They won football games. Mahomes off to the greatest start in the history of quarterbacks in the NFL. They're the best team in football, and that defense could get better. Spags is a coordinator, and Tress Paylor will talk to us about this in a few minutes. His defenses tend to get better as seasons go along.
Honorable mention.
I love Tampa Bay. I wanted to get them on this list. I love what they can be. There has been some inconsistency, and not overwhelmed by a single moment, but Tom Brady did forget what down it was. That is a little worrisome in the extreme.
Here's your participation trophy.
Buffalo, look, you participated, you tried, you gave some effort, you're a playoff team. You did not. It's been a rough couple weeks. They got crushed by the Titans and obviously lost to Kansas City at home.
Oh, so close.
And the Packers are the other team that I almost had on this list. They probably deserve to be there, but I only got five slots.
You get an A for effort.
I mean, has anything ever summed up the Chicago Bears than an A for effort? Are you good? Are you excellent? Are you worthy? No, but you know what? You're 5-1, baby. Let's do it. I guess that's it. We're out of time. NFL Power Rankings. I apologize to the Rams and Cardinals for not celebrating how good you are as the Cardinals rise and the Rams seem to fade from where they were a few years ago. My name is Bill Ryder. This show is Ryder Than You. Therese Paylor, really talented NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. Going to talk some Chiefs and the rest of the NFL when we come back in a moment here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast.
As promised, a guy that I tell you all the time is the best NFL reporter, writer in the country, because he is. I'm a lot of things. A liar ain't one of them. He is Therese Paylor at Yahoo Sports. I met Therese at the Kansas City Star back in the day on Twitter at Therese Paylor. TP, what up, man? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Bill. How you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. Appreciate you, dude. That is an Andy Reid football team that ran the ball a lot yesterday. What did you make of the offensive plan of attack in Buffalo?
They're going to have to win games like that for a while because I wrote this in a column. I hope people go to Yahoo Sports to check it out. Here's what teams have been doing for the last month, Bill. There's such respect for the deep ball ability of Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and his assortment of weapons that teams are saying, you know what, I'm done with that. Like, I can't afford to let these guys put up 40 on me. I'm going to make them put together a long drive, even if we look bad doing it. So how do you do that? You rush three or four, You drop 7 or 8 men in the coverage, and you play bend but don't break defense until you get in the red zone where you can play a little bit more man coverage, because if you do that and somebody gets beat, it's just a touchdown instead of a long touchdown, you understand, which break your back. So we've actually seen that for the last month, right? Dating back to the Chargers, this is what teams are doing against Kansas City. They're keeping everything in front of them, and they're making the Chiefs go length of the field. So how do you beat that? It's actually pretty easy because they're letting you go 20-20. What you do is you run the football on it. You take advantage of the light boxes you get, and then you control the ball with a nice controlled passing game. But then the first 20 yards of the line of scrimmage. Now, on the passing part of it, it's going to require you to make side adjustments because teams are going to play zone, and they're going to make you be on the same page because they're giving you stuff, but you still have to see what's out there and connect. Right. And that's fine. Chiefs and Mahomes will get better at that. But the run game is the part of it where it's very important that they take advantage of those light boxes, because eventually if you do that long enough, some coordinators are going to say, I can't handle this 5 or 6 yards at a time. This is just too much for me. Let me commit an extra man to the box. And then that opens up the passing game again. So that's the importance of signing Le'Veon Bell, who's not a big play run threat, but has tremendous vision and can get 4 or 5 yards a carry. And then Clyde with the Edwards-Helaire, who is the big play run threat. And that's why seeing them run the ball the way they did last night was so important, because I think they're going to have to play like that offensively for a long time, at least until defenses decide that they just can't handle seeing themselves get gashed like that anymore.
Talking to Yahoo Sports, Terez Paylor here on CBS Sports Radio. Terez, I was trying to figure out where Le'Veon Bell was going to go. And I know people are wondering, maybe that guy over at ESPN might break the news, or, you know, who was going to do it? It was, of course, it was you. You broke the Le'Veon Bell news. What do you think it looks like? How many carries are we talking about? What is the ceiling for Le'Veon with this Chiefs offense, you think, this season?
I see him working as a cohort to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because Edwards-Helaire does some things that Bell can't, which is namely break the long run. Like, Edwards-Helaire's 31-yard run last night was like the longest Bell has had since 2016. So, like, you're not going to get the big play run out of Le'Veon Bell, but what you will do is get the Damian Williams role. Now, Damian Williams was a Super Bowl hero for the Chiefs. Sound blocker, good receiver out of the backfield, tough runner. And I think that's what Le'Veon Bell is going to do. You know, 10 touches a game, 12 touches, and, hey, if he's even better than that, maybe more. Who knows? But I see him helping out, especially in passing situations. He's a big guy at 6'2", 225, okay? He's got the body to pass protect. He's better at it than Edwards-Helaire, who didn't do it a lot last year and hasn't really gotten a lot of reps at it this year. So that's going to help open up the passing game more, too, when Bell's on the field, because he's a better blocker. He's also still got that tremendous vision, which is important in the red zone because the field gets constricted, tougher to get yards, and the Chiefs offensive line is not overpowering you anyway. So any bit of help you can get there from your running back being a big physical guy with great vision will help them, you know, in the red zone. Also, he'll help them in their passing game. Le'Veon Bell's hands are outstanding. He runs some routes very well, and Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy are outstanding at drawing up screens. So I see him helping in that very specific role. Those very specific roles. I think of him as a tag team partner with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they're going to use the guy they need most depending on what the defense shows.
Terez Paylor here on the program on Twitter, Terez Paylor. TP, last Chiefs question for you before we hit a few other things. How much separation do you think there is between the Chiefs and the other best great teams in the NFL right now, if any, for you?
Yeah, I think people have kind of cooled on the Chiefs a little bit since they lost to the Raiders, but I'm not a part of that boat. I think that's the wrong thing to do, and I'll tell you why. Yeah, the loss to the Raiders was not ideal. However, a couple things played a factor there. Number one, John Gruden knows Andy Reid very well, all right? And those two are close, and John got tired of losing to Andy, so he pulled out his best stuff in that game, okay? And also, they were kind of set up to get gashed by the pass a little bit because Derek Carr had not shown an ability to consistently threaten the deeper portions of the field most of the season, so you have to make him do that, right? Well, turns out he got Henry Ruggs back, and he connected on a few. Hat tip to him, right? Like, that's how that goes. So, the Raiders know the Chiefs, and they've built a roster trying to compete with them. I don't think it's a concern this year. I think just it's a long season and you get beat sometimes. So to come back to your question, I think there is still a large gap between the Chiefs and the next team, in the, especially in the AFC, because they've beaten almost all of them, right? They handled the Ravens really well. They handled them completely. They handled the Bills last night, right? I do think there's some teams that can play with them, though, and they're going to have to play well in the playoffs when they face them, the two teams we just mentioned, but especially Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's underrated, and I think Pittsburgh's a problem. They have a great defense. They can rush with just four, but they also have outstanding blitz packages. Now, they're going to be hurt by missing Devin Bush Jr. That stinks. That's a big deal. But their offense is good, too. And that's a complete football team with a Super Bowl head coach. So that's a team that's going to be competitive in the AFC, and I predicted that before the season. And I'm also impressed with what Tennessee's done. They built on last season. They're better this year. So, yeah, I still think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, and I wouldn't say that it's close, but I do think that, you know, their team's kind of emerging now where if they don't play their best in January, they could potentially lose. But, you know, again, that rides on them, and that's something that they know. This is in their hands.
Tress Paylor, is it fair to be worried about or frustrated with Josh Allen at this stage of his development, his career?
I think that's a good question, but you know, I also think you know me well enough to know that I'm pretty like I watch enough football, hours and hours of it, Bill, and I've covered it long enough, and I'm passionate enough about it to know that I typically don't get very emotional about these things, just because I know the season's like a roller coaster. It's a little bit like a wave, you know, unless you've got an elite coach and an elite quarterback. And I think the Bills are well positioned at those two spots, better than a lot of teams, but they're still trying to prove they're elite. So yeah, there's going to be ups and downs, but remember, you know, before last season and even at the end of the 2018 season, I was in on Josh Allen because I think he makes plays that other guys can't. Now he is raw. And some he's been wrong in some very key areas, namely his accuracy, and he still has a tendency to make some kind of goofy plays sometimes. But guys like that can win. Guys like that do win, and they can win in January when they put it all together. So I'm still really bullish on Josh Allen. I know people are eager to say, oh, the pumpkin, you know. Yeah, I will gladly take the other side of that and wait for Josh to prove me wrong. I think he's really talented. I had the opportunity to visit with him multiple times over the last few years. Josh Allen really, really cares about football, and guys like that almost always figure it out. And I think he's shown with his improvement that he's wired that way. And I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt. The Bills lost to two really good football teams the last 2 weeks. That does not change my opinion of them as an AFC East contender and a team that can cause you problems in the playoffs if you don't play well.
Tress Paylor on the show, who's literally never been wrong about anything that's ever come out of his mouth about the NFL on this radio show, over beers at the Caddy Shack. It doesn't matter.
I don't know about that, but I think
I think it's true. I was sitting here trying to think of one. If there's one, I had too many PBRs that day because I can't remember it. So Bills fans, cling to that because it's true. It's not just nice to hear. It's coming from Tress Paylor at Yahoo Sports. It's true. You brought up the Bills' two losses, Titans and Chiefs. They've beaten a Dolphins team. That looks like a pretty good win at this point. They beat the Rams, but they beat the Raiders. Too. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So who are the Bills? Like what is the range of possibility for this football team this season?
I actually think we know who the Bills are. Like you said, they beat the Raiders. The Raiders are a solid football team. You know, like you got to play Oakland. I'm sorry. You got to play Las Vegas. Going to take me a long time. I was raised.
I know, dude. I still say Chargers, San Diego. No judgment at all.
I was raised on the Oakland Raiders. It's going to take me a little while, but like, no, man. I think we know who they are. Like, they are very, very solidly kind of like if you have the Chiefs at number one in one tier in the AFC, and then the Steelers and the Ravens, right? I think the Bills are kind of at the bottom of that second tier. You know, they're in the Titans are in here too. It's like they're right in the mix here. They're in the mix to win. They're a good football team that's probably going to finish with 10 wins or more, that's probably going to win a playoff game, that's going to have to get a few breaks and play really well to make it to the AFC Championship game. And if you're Buffalo, that's okay. That's okay right now. Josh Allen's still a young guy. They're still building their program there. What the Bills have done to surround Josh Allen with talent to help him develop right now is the model of how you bring a young quarterback along. Kansas City did a similar thing. They let Patrick Mahomes develop for like a year, but they really insulated him with an offense that fits his skill set, and they put a lot of talent around him. I think Buffalo's done that, and I can't wait to see what Brandon Bean does this offseason to continue to build this roster, because I really do believe Buffalo's a team that has a nice long-term future just because they're run competently, they're coached really well, and they have a really talented quarterback that loves the game of football.
TB, if you will humor me, please finish this sentence for me. At the end of this regular season, the New England Patriots are what?
9-7.
Nine and seven.
I still think that they find a way to finish with a winning record. It's Bill Belichick, unless they just continue to have COVID issues. You know, it's Bill Belichick. Cam Newton's still good enough to finish with a winning record. I would expect them to be in the wild card mix, play on wild card weekend, and whether or not they lose depends on how well they play that weekend.
Are you – look, we can get so carried away, me included, but all of us, American society, on one micro moment, and we don't see – the world from 10,000 feet. A week ago, the story was Tom Brady doesn't know how to count to four. Now the story is Tom Brady's amazing. What do you think Tampa Bay can do this year? For you, how much are you buying that football team going forward?
I was bullish on the Bucs before the season because I thought I did turn out to be right about this too. Their defense is good. I thought their defense was good last year, just no one was paying attention. We just all are paying attention to Jameis' interceptions. But their defense is good, okay? They can rush the passer. They can stop the run. They have a young secondary that's getting better. I like a lot of their pieces back there. And their two linebackers, David and Devin White, are really fast and athletic. And this is the kind of team that could give it, I'd say, the Chiefs problems in the Super Bowl because they can rush four. Their two linebackers are really, really fast and athletic, and their secondary is young and can run too. And they have some ball hawks back there, and they can execute that that strategy that I laid out in facing the Chiefs offense earlier. They can execute that. And we saw kind of what they can do on Sunday against the Packers. Their defense is legitimately good. I had the Saints winning the division, but I had the Bucs winning at least 10 games and making the playoffs and maybe making a run. I still believe in that. I think that's totally possible with Tampa Bay. The offense will continue to get better. I thought their offensive line's better than people thought, and I love Tristan Wirfs, the right tackle. So now you're talking about that and all the skill weapons he has, even without O.J. Howard. Tom Brady has more than enough to win 10-plus games this season. He's going to do that. How they fare in the playoffs comes down to how healthy they are and how well Tom is playing at that time, but there's more than enough in Tampa Bay to potentially make a Super Bowl run. I will say that. They just have to play well when it matters.
Trez Paylor at Yahoo Sports. I'm going to rack my brain between now and the next time we have you on to think of a single time you've ever been wrong in conversation with me about anything in the NFL. Hey, man, I love your success because you deserve every ounce of it. Congrats on the Le'Veon Bell story that you broke. Congrats on killing it for Yahoo Sports. Tell our mutual friends in Kansas City that I say hi. And dude, thanks as always for making all of us smarter for being on the show.
Well, that was very kind of you, man, and I appreciate your friendship over the years and obviously the platform. Right now, to kind of share my football knowledge because I'm obviously so passionate about it. So I appreciate you, man, and I'm happy for your success too, man. You and I go way back.
We
man.
Do.
Time does fly, but I revel in our friendship, and I'm so happy. We're both pretty happy right now and seem to be doing well.
Dude, to celebrate the things that are good in 2020 is the only way to get through 2020. So I'm with you, pal. Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
I'm with you, brother. Okay.
All right, dude.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
I feel inspired by Bogus calling for Smoltz's job. I'm going to call for somebody's job. Hey, ESPN, fire Jeff Van Gundy. That guy went on your airwaves, pretended that Houston had been the most consistent, sure thing, and then anyone that pointed out, like, I don't know, like, they've blown some 3-1 leads, and they haven't really been able to close out some stuff, and James Harden, anyone who says that James Harden isn't the clutchest player on earth is jeopardizing my ability to try to get back into the game, and therefore I will lie to you and shame you on television. You know what, Jeff? Inspired by Andrew Bogus firing John Smoltz, you should be fired. But you know that. You don't even want to do that job. That's why you lied to your listeners, to your viewers, so you could use it as a job interview.
Bye.
Yeah, we all like jobs. I like jobs. I like this job a lot. But like, if I had a job in front of me, literally like a $1 million job that I could get, I wouldn't come on here and lie to you to get it.
I really like Jay Cutler. He's a great guy, and I can't wait to be his co-host in this new endeavor. I can't wait to bring you Chris Paul and Ryder, a buddy picture brought to you by Paramount. No, I own it. It is what it is.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right, 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. Tom, do you want to fire anybody? We're firing people today. Who do you want to fire in the broadcast business?
You did it. In fact, I almost jumped in yesterday and fired Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy.
You're going to fire Mark? You fired Mark. I didn't fire
Mark. It's just done.
Fire him.
It's done. It's been 9 years, I think, the two of them. Like, at some point, we spent so much time with that crew. At some point, you need a change, and they bicker like a married couple, and I'm just tired of listening to it. I mean, nobody wants to hear that. I want to hear announcing of the game. I don't want to hear you arguing amongst
one another. Are you old enough to have seen the film Grumpy Old Men?
Yes. And Grumpier Old Men.
Right. Like, at a certain point, when we got to, like, Grumpiest of the Grumpers,
exactly.
Old Men, it was too much. I don't need version 5 from Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy.
That's it.
Just like being put out with each other.
And broadcasting's changed too. Like the whole Romo era of like giving you a different, more intense perspective. They were from the last era before they did that when you just kind of talked at the game while you watched it. And we could do better. Yes, man. We can do better.
Jim Jackson.
Yeah.
Has it been on a meteor? That guy had some games in the bubble. I think he did them for TNT. TNT? Yes, TNT. And look, he's a friend of mine. He's a friend of the show. He's an actual friend of mine. But he was awesome on the air. He's funny. He's insightful. I just want people to be honest with me. I want people to tell me the truth. I don't like it when my intelligence and your intelligence is insulted. I don't. Look, I'm not the smartest guy on earth. I don't know sports better. I don't know baseball better than John Smoltz. I don't know I know basketball pretty well. I don't know better than Jeff Van Gundy. But I'm not an idiot. I'm not an alien. I didn't just come from a country that don't play those sports, and I'm like, please tell me what this dribbling is. I know enough to know when you're insulting my intelligence to pretending there's some alternate reality because it suits your other purposes. I can't and I, by the way, I used to think this way. I'm more passionate about it now, having crossed the veil, right? Having done television, worked at a television network, spent tons of time in green rooms. Here's a story that I'll tell. God, inspired by Bogus, just his hatred for John Smoltz has brought me to this place. I will never forget this, that I broke a story. It was fairly controversial. I broke a story several years ago that said that DeAndre Jordan hated Chris Paul, felt bullied by him, hated him, and was going to leave, was going to go somewhere else. And Doc Rivers came out and called me a liar. I did local radio then in LA, a CBS Sports affiliate, which is ironic. In LA with a guy named like Fred Bogus or Bogan, or I don't know what his name is. Some local like television talent, like just they call me a liar not on that show, on the morning show, every day on the air. Just I would be driving into my show and just Bill Ryder's a liar. This story is made up. DeAndre Jordan's not going anywhere. People I respect we've had on this show, national NBA people, wrote it's not true. And then DeAndre Jordan went to Houston for a minute. They had to obviously like do a hostage situation, his house to get him to come back. And those same writers wrote, I knew it all along. We knew all along there were problems. What do you mean all along? 2 weeks ago, you were slandering my name. I'm shocked I'm friends with some of these people because they've been on this show. And I obviously had a radio show at the time, so I talked about it. Clippers love me because this was all very public. And I got called in when I worked at Fox Sports 1 to do a hit about this story. This was just before DeAndre Jordan announced he was leaving, so I was having to defend my reporting. And there's an NBA player there. There's a former NBA player, very well known. I won't say who it is. You know who this guy is. Who was, I guess you could look it up, who was there just like in the green room. Green room is where you hang out, eat, have coffee before you walk down the hall and put your makeup on and go do TV. And the guy's like, hey, Ryder, what's up? Man, I saw your Chris Paul story. That was great work. Like, and he's a friend of mine, but yeah, dude, you nailed it. I'm like, oh, thanks. And I knew I had, because I knew the Clippers hated me, so I had like 30 sources. I literally had lunches with people when the Clippers were out of town that worked for the Clippers at Mexican restaurants 20 miles outside of LA. We'd like sit in the back like he was Deep Throat. Like, I don't think they're walking through the door. I don't, you know, quit like a hat on. And anyway, the guy in the green room was like, just, yeah, like I like Chris, but he's edgy and he doesn't treat people well. He doesn't mean badly. He's a good guy, but he's a bad teammate. We spent 20 minutes, this guy congratulating me on how absolutely accurate the story was and good for you to tell the truth and more people should do it. I'm like, thanks, man. Like, famous basketball player. I'm like, so we're, so they come in, they're like, Bill, random, you know, famous basketball player, it's time to walk out. I'm like, oh, you're on today too. He's, oh yeah, that's why I'm here. I'm like, cool. What are you talking about on FS1 today? Oh, I'm on with you. I'm like, oh, are we talking about this? Yeah, I'm gonna argue the opposite. I'm like, what do you mean? We walk out there, I give my little answer, and the guy goes, you never played the game, okay? You don't know what you're talking about. And I just stared at him. Looking back, I should have just said, bro, we just spent 20 minutes in the green room. You tell me I was right, but I didn't want to do that. The point is, I've seen how this works. These cowards who are worried they won't be invited to the Christmas party, and in Jeff Van Gundy's case, won't get the job interview. So do I want to fire John Smoltz? No, I'm not Andrew Bogish. But I do think that people should be held accountable, and that is a true story. My jaw dropped. If you could find the tape, who has tape of FS1? Fox Sports Live back in the day. But still, my jaw just... Man, that guy's lucky he's not today. Because I was pretty edgy back then, but I was fairly polite. Today, I'd just be like, we just spent 20 minutes in the room. You told me this. And since you're saying that you're lying, you said Chris Paul is this, 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 and this. So what you want now? And I wouldn't be here talking to you because they would have fired me and I would be selling insurance in Kansas City, Missouri. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Hey, Bogish. Can't get Smoltz, man. Been efforting so hard, your guy that you hate. A burning passion.
Well, I think you were right earlier. He's prepping. He is deep in preparation, or he's sleeping off last night's overnight prep work. Either way, it's about the work ethic for Smoltz. So this is normally you reset the battery, get ready for a first pitch tonight. So I'm not surprised you're missing him at this point.
Do you want to? I can fill some time if you want to get tennis shoes on because you're running so quickly in the other direction. I'm worried that maybe you want the right attire for this. Don't walk it back. But, you fired Smoltz. You hate him as a person. You questioned him as a guy. Or at least a broadcaster.
Let me change the subject twice. So I would have definitely listened to Writer than CP3. That sounds like a really good show, a really good tandem.
What about CP3 and me? Yeah, right? Like once they were enemies, okay. But now they're roommates.
I want to see the full-length feature. I want to see the film. I want to see the buddy comedy. That's what I'm all for. You guys palling around L.A., getting into trouble.
I actually, on his State Farm commercials, is it me? Or I want you guys to tell me, I find him so unlikable in those commercials. I find him to be like so unlikable. I like the fake Chris Paul that breaks the window better than the real Chris
Paul. Alfonso Ribeiro breaking the window, even though I've seen it like 200 times now, it still makes me laugh.
It does. That guy's so funny. CP3 and me could be, right? You like Ryder? I don't think we can sell them on Ryder than CP3. I like the name. But I think he might balk at it. I know that's going to happen someday. I'm going to get some job in TV, and I'm going to walk into that green room. Because usually those guys of that stature are there before it gets announced, like a little tryout, meet people. And I'm going to see him, and that's the moment I'm going to know that I'm fired. I mean, that is the moment I'm going to know that it's over. Because some guys actually don't care. Like, you know, a great guy is Matt Leinart. And he was in the Fox green room with a radio host who's a petty narcissist on the air, at least, who just attacks people. And there was some history there, and Matt was such a pro about it. I don't know that Chris Paul would go that direction. All right, so I've called somebody a narcissist, told the story about a lion former NBA player, basically disparaged Chris Paul again, and I won't let you off the hook for your remarkable judgment and hatred for John Smoltz. We have a trifecta plus one, Andrew Bogish. We did it.
And we didn't even mention the fact that you had Whisper Tacos with Clipper fan. I get phone calls. At least you get Whisper Mexican food. That's much better than
so
my
weird
setup here.
This guy, I'm like, I thought he lived out there because people always want to be, the team wasn't around. I'm like, okay, he lives out in this random place. I've never been to this part of LA before or since. I'm like, do you live out here? He goes, no, I live in this place. I'm like, what are we doing out here? I don't want to see us. They're on the road. You think Doc Rivers Secret is going to fly back and walk in to get random Mexican? Like, what? Why don't we just go to In-N-Out Burger? I mean, what are we doing here? All right. God, that
was
a thing.
Let me give you some breaking news from the NFL.
On Smoltz?
No, this is NFL, although I'm sure Smoltz will weigh in tonight with Buck. The Dolphins are switching to Tua. They're off this week. When they come back out of this bye, Tua Tagovailoa is their starting quarterback. Fitzpatrick to the bench.
No, they're
that
not.
Is from a series of Adam Schefter tweets that I have confirmed are really Adam Schefter. They are making the change now-ish to Tua.
Wow. You just blew my mind.
Tommy's stuck. He's frozen.
I'm...
We just talked about this yesterday. It seems so unlikely.
You're right. There it is.
That's crazy. They're thinking playoffs, man. They're starting the engine right now.
But it's working.
Yeah. He's playing well. Fitz is playing well. I hate admitting that.
Fitz is a guy, just ride it. Like, he'll eventually suck, and once he sucks, play Tua.
Guess he's
but he's
got
to suck for two games in a row.
Wow.
Oh, my. This is more shocking than what Bogus said about Smoltz yesterday. What a shocking week here on the show.
Let's get to our Monday night doubleheader. The Bills were riding high at 4-0. Then they got smoked last Tuesday in Tennessee. And then last night, no home cooking. A 26-17 loss to the Chiefs that included only 206 yards of offense for head coach Sean McDermott.
When you look at our quality of play, I thought there were moments where we played up to our standard, and there were certainly enough moments where we didn't. That's what we have to be truthful with when we look at the film.
Second consecutive game, his offense scores under 20, while his defense gave up 245 rushing yards, the most for the Chiefs in 8 seasons. Rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire did most of the damage with a 161. Patrick Mahomes converted 2 third downs, set up a late field goal after Buffalo closed within 6. Then Daniel Sorensen picked off Josh Allen with 80 seconds left to erase any doubt. The doubt then disappeared quickly in Dallas, the Cardinals scoring 21 unanswered points in the second quarter, fueled by back-to-back fumbles from Ezekiel Elliott. They won 38-10, keeping Kyler Murray unbeaten at AT&T Stadium.
It was fun. It brought back a lot of memories. Felt like I've been playing there every Sunday, honestly.
Murray grew up 41 miles away in Allen, Texas. He went 5-0 in the building in high school, won a Big 12 title there, and then last night, 2 touchdown passes to Christian Kirk and 1 on the ground for Murray. For just the 4th time since 1995, the World Series is number 1 versus number 1. It's the Rays and the Dodgers. It's Tyler Glasnow and Clayton Kershaw on the mound. He throws the first pitch at 7:09 Central. NASCAR has cleared Kyle Larson to drive next season. He's been suspended since April when he used a racial slur during a virtual race. Larson lost his sponsors and Chip Ganassi Racing fired him because of that. And we've got Champions League soccer today. The best match of the day, in my novice opinion, 3 Eastern, Man U and PSG, but a full slate of games today and then tomorrow, and at least one of us is already wearing a soccer jersey right now. Bill, back to you.
I just got another voicemail from John Smoltz, Bogish. And
oh, great.
On first listen, because you fired me, it sounds the same, but it's actually very different. Here's voicemail number 2 from John Smoltz to you.
How much time do we have?
This is the most ridiculous topic we have every single time.
Yep.
Let me just put it this way. It's ridiculous. Okay. This is stupid, okay? Like, this is dumb. Anyone who talks about this doesn't know what they're talking about. That makes no sense. It's not universal. This is dumb.
He went with the not universal again. It sounds similar, but that is Smoltz's response to you firing
so original.
I'm an original cat, bro. Original all the time. Bogus, good stuff, buddy. Thanks, dude. I just snorted on national radio. At Andrew Bogus on Twitter. At Andrew Bogus. John Smoltz. It's at Andrew Bogus on Twitter. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. We'll get into this Tua story and some buy or sell next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back into the show, Writer Than You, the name of the program. I'm Bill Writer. Breaking news. Wow. Tua Tagovailoa, rookie quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. The 3-2 Miami Dolphins, who just came off a, 24-0 win against the Jets, which, to be fair, is the equivalent of, you know, a 7-3 win against somebody else. But still, 3-3, excuse me, second place in the AFC East, are going to start Tua over Fitzmagic. Fitz has led this team to a pretty impressive start to their season. And it's a shocker. I have several takeaways. And Brian Flores has earned, I think, the right to, I'm going to err on the side of giving that guy the benefit of the doubt. He has earned the benefit of the doubt. And again, not that it's everything, but just the effort that football team plays, the effort they played with last year when they were bad enough to draft Tua. I mean, this is a well-coached team. And there's a few things. One, they clearly think behind the scenes that Tua is good enough. And the last time that I was genuinely shocked by the idea of a quarterback ascension was 3 years ago when Tress Paylor, who was just on the show 40 minutes ago, told us, came on the show when Ryder Than You was on nights here at CBS Sports Radio, when the Chiefs were 5-0 and Alex Smith was the guy marshaling that Chiefs team that looked like the best team of football. And Trez told us Patrick Mahomes, that kid they traded up for from Texas Tech, may start this year. And I was, I think, on the air, I sputtered like, what? And he did not start that year. He started next year. We know the story. So, and the point is, not that Tua is Mahomes and not that those situations are comparable. It's this. Really great coaching staff sometimes just know. They just know what they have. They see it in practice. They see it in preparation. They know. Clearly, the Dolphins think they know. That's takeaway number one. Takeaway number two, the sort of macro perspective of this is that the Dolphins think there's an opening clearly here. Like, let's go for it. But the micro, I think what's really interesting is they've obviously, they're in the same division as the Patriots. They've made an assessment. Patriots aren't very good. They are imminently beatable. Because it's not just the Jets that clearly the Dolphins look at in their division. And the AFC's tough, man. I mean, outside of the AFC East, the Bills are a good team. Talking the Steelers and the Ravens and the Titans and the Chiefs and the Raiders are interesting. And the Browns are still 4-2 despite that beatdown against Pittsburgh this past weekend. They obviously do not, I'm talking about the brain trust in Miami, see New England as a particular threat. All of that is at play here. And Tua had, I don't even know what it was. He threw the ball a couple times. He looked, I don't even know how he looked. It's hard. I watched it. It was just, the guy was in for half a second of football that didn't mean anything against a football team that if you mistook it for your local community college walk-on squad, that would be okay. Sorry, Jets fans. Sorry, Tom. You sell that? Still true. So Tua Tagovailoa going to start for the Dolphins going forward. Man, that is fascinating. I love Tua, like we all do, right? Like, I think the guy is such a huge future. You know, from Drew Brees to Russell Wilson to now Kyler Murray, right? They're just getting shorter. Even Baker moment to moment. Like, go short, guys. I'm team short guy. I'm in. I'm a short guy. Let's do it. Let's go. I'm like a tall short guy and a short guy, right? Like, I'm 5'8", pretend to be 5'10", on my driver's license. That's where I'm at. I'm in. I'm here for Tua. I'm also left-handed. Tua just became, to quote Step Brothers, did we just become best friends? Did you just become my favorite NFL quarterback? We're going to find out. All right, we'll have more on this tomorrow for sure. Let's do buy or sell right now.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, so I warned you this was coming. The Bears are 5-1. They're slowly winning me over, and this guy is a big reason why. This is their new psycho quarterback speaking to the media yesterday.
We're not going to get complacent and say, hey, man, we're 5-1. This is it. No, like, we're sitting there in the locker room after the game talking through it. Hey, we got to be better here. This is what we got to do here. Communication here, route running here. Hey, we got to be able to run the ball here. We know that. I know you're all going to ask those questions. We know that. And that's what's exciting, because we don't have to have y'all say, hey, you doing this? Hey, we know. But we also know that we're going to improve because we believe in one another. And that's what great teams do. Great teams find a way to win a game. Bad teams win with prettiness. Great teams win no matter how it takes. So I'm proud of our guys. I think we're continuing to improve. Are we where we want to be? No, we're not where we want to be. But I'm excited about our offense.
They're 5.5-point dogs for the game on Monday night in Los Angeles against the Rams. I kind of like them for that game. Buy or sell, the Bears are becoming more and more viable all the time.
You're gonna go Bears plus 5.5 against the Rams?
I think so.
I'm gonna avoid that game. No, I'm not gonna buy the Bears.
Sell.
But I will say this, Tom, buy or sell this. Nick is really full of energy.
Buy.
Yeah, he is.
How could I possibly deny that?
What insight into why guys in locker rooms love this dude. I love this dude. I want to embrace this guy. Just fell in love with two quarterbacks in the span of 3 minutes. The problem is he's a Bear. It's hard to believe in it.
I had to, though. I had to give you the chance. I'll keep doing it, too. I hope they win this game. I hope we keep going. I love it. I hope they go 15-1.
They lose 49-0 when they finally get
exactly,
their playoff
against
game
the 5-10-1 Eagles in the first round of the playoffs.
That's exactly what it'll be. Wentz throws for 7 touchdown passes.
Okay. We got to talk Clayton Kershaw and the World Series tonight. Game one, it is Kershaw for the Dodgers. He's still desperately searching for that signature postseason start that serves as the cornerstone piece for a championship run. So far in this postseason, Kershaw is 2-1 with a 3.32 ERA and 23 strikeouts versus 2 walks in 19 innings. It's his best postseason ERA since 2015 and the third best of his career. Buy or sell, Kershaw will leave the game with the lead tonight.
Woo, tricky one. Look, I think pitching game one is the optimal place for Kershaw because there's not a lot of pressure, right? The series isn't on the line, and you can leave with the lead if you give up 4 earned runs in 5 or 6 innings if your offense goes off. And I think they're starting to click, especially what Corey Seager did. I've long thought he was the best hitter on the team. I know Cody Bellinger plays for that team. Yeah, I'm in.
Bye.
I also, when you ask me whether he's going to win game six or whatever it is in a week's time, I'm going to sell that. But we'll get to that story when the time comes.
All right, as for the game and series itself, the Dodgers are big favorites tonight at minus 170, even bigger favorites for the series on the whole at around minus 200. That's been moving a little bit today. I think it's closer to minus 190 right this second. Buy or sell, the Dodgers should be such big favorites for this series?
I mean, yes.
Buy.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a team that's been in the World Series 3 out of 4 years. They added Mookie Betts, who is the best position player on the field in the series. Corey Seager is healthy. Corey Seager was in his rookie year, finished, I think, 3rd in the MVP voting. He's back to that form. They are loaded. Arias is healthy? Yeah.
Titans QB Ryan Tannehill joined Jim Rome yesterday and offered this on his terrific and terrifying teammate, Derrick Henry.
Derrick is special. I've said it time and time again. I saw it from afar before I came up to Tennessee, just him making extremely good plays. And people don't realize the speed that he has being as big as he is.
Buy or sell, Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry are canceling out each other's MVP buzz.
That's interesting. I'm going to buy that a little bit.
Buy.
And I also think it's hard for a running. What a great answer, by the way, from Tannehill on Rome. Like, that is, again, you can tell when guys like each other, respect each other, where the praise comes easy. I love that Titans team, man.
All right, let's do some Mike McCarthy. He dropped the dreaded, but we practiced well after the game last night. Here's what
God.
It sounded like.
I felt like the preparation coming into the game was probably our best so far this year. But obviously that doesn't account for anything, particularly after a performance like tonight.
Right, and an answer like that is usually a terrible sign, but the Cowboys in an interesting situation. It's still 2-4. They may be the favorites to win the NFC East still, but buy or sell, Bill, if they don't win the East, McCarthy could be a one-and-done coach in Dallas.
Let's hope so. Cowboys.
Bye.
Hey, Lori, I totally destroyed our finances by gambling all the money away, but good news, I found a dollar on the walk home, so everything's fine. We practice well. Cool, bro. Good story. Thanks for sharing that with me, you moron.
Anything you're saying in post-game pressers that's in common with Adam Gase is not a good thing.
How about I apologize? That's the only thing you have to say. Answer every question. I'm sorry, Cowboys fans. I apologize.
This was bad. All right, we'll end on a quick one. 538 did an ultimate Halloween candies ranking yesterday. Not sure how they came up with this, but the number one was Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, followed by Reese's Miniatures. Next was Twix, then Kit Kat, then Snickers. Buy or sell, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are, in fact, the ultimate Halloween candy.
I'm a Kit Kat or Butterfinger guy, and I'm shocked Skittles are so far down there.
Sell.
Oh, no. I'm going to buy it.
Buy.
My kids love it. Oh, we're out of time. We can't talk more candy? I want to get into Rolos, baby.
Tua got right. In the way of the candy.
My name is Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You. Thank you for hanging out. We'll see you back here tomorrow on CBS Sports Radio.